Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
What up? It's the Crossover Pod Friday edition. I'm Howard Beck, senior writer for Sports Illustrated. Really special guest today. She is Tamika Tramaglio, the new executive director of the NBA Players Union, known formerly, of course, as the National Basketball Players Association. Sat down with Tamika this week on her 100th day as executive director, and it was a busy first 100 days, always is. But there are much bigger issues on the horizon for the union, for the league as a whole, namely a new collective bargaining agreement. The current deal is set to expire in 2024. That's just 2 years away, but either side can opt out as soon as next year, 2023. So a lot of stuff coming up soon. There will be a lot of weighty issues on the table, as there always are. The age limit, length of the season, and player rest concerns. Adam Silver addressed that recently. Expansion, potentially. The usual debates over maxes and super maxes and luxury taxes and restricted free agency, all that stuff. Should marijuana come off the banned list now that it's legal or decriminalized in so many places across the country? We dove into a bunch of those issues. Also, spent some time discussing the clash between Kyrie Irving and Celtics fans. Of course, anything involving player welfare is of a concern to the union, and Tamika was really candid about the issues involved there. As you'll hear, she is a very upbeat personality, very passionate about her role as the player's chief advocate, and about the union's, I would say, rapidly evolving role, not just as a labor union, but as a business entity in its own right, focused on increasing player wealth and equity in the league. A lot of fascinating stuff. Before we get to all that, a quick reminder, please rate, review, and subscribe to The Crossover wherever you get your podcasts. If you have feedback, please hit me on Twitter, at Howard Beck. Okay, my conversation with Tamika Tramaglio is coming up next, so stick around.
This is The Crossover, an NBA show hosted by Sports Illustrated's Chris Mannix and Howard Beck.
It's a whole new level for you and me, Chris, this relationship.
Like and subscribe for the best weekly NBA content these two are capable of.
What does that mean?
Could be the best duo ever.
I don't see how you can beat that.
Here they are, Chris Mannix and Howard Beck.
Now, very pleased to be joined by Tamika Tramaglio, although I guess actually you're welcoming me because I'm in your offices here at MBPA HQ in Midtown. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for spending the time. It is your 100th day as executive director. I've just been informed. So happy 100th. If you were the president of the United States, we would be doing endless think pieces about what the first 100 days meant and things that went right and wrong and policies that have not quite gotten off the ground or whatever. You are spared from all of that. But I guess I'll just ask, 100 days in, Where do you think things stand for you in terms of just being immersed in all this, getting a feel for the landscape? You're new to it, but not entirely. We'll get to that. How do you feel like this first 100 days has gone for you?
Yeah, so honestly, Howard, first of all, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for being at our headquarters. So fortuitous that I would have the opportunity to speak to you on my 100th day. It has been amazing. Right. I have learned a long time ago it's so important to sort of appreciate the journey, and the journey has just been phenomenal. As I thought, the professionals at the union are amazing. The players are exceptional. They are some of the most brilliant athletes in the world. I mean, they astound me every single day with their knowledge and the things that they think of and their ability to be innovative. So it has really been amazing. There are so many stakeholders in this business, so as you can certainly appreciate. So getting to know each and every one of them has been an incredible reward for me. So I'm very grateful.
I'm sure there have been like 1,000 of the welcome to the NBA moment. We always ask players that when they're rookies, like, right, or years into their career. So what was your welcome to the NBA moment? And it's, you know, somebody dunked on them, or, you know, they had to, you know, guard LeBron or something, whatever. You're getting introduced all over the place all the time when you first take a job like this. We met at All-Star Weekend when you were still meeting a lot of the movers and shakers. And plus, of course, there's all the players themselves. Is there one moment where it was like, you know, the one that kind of rattled you a little, or just in a little bit in awe? You know, again, in this business, we, you know, the celebrity aspect of it kind of falls away quickly. It's just the job. But what was your welcome to the NBA moment?
So there have been many, quite honestly. You know, I think obviously All-Star was sort of the pinnacle, right? And I think sort of having that experience earlier on was incredible. The Legends Brunch, just hearing about the things that our legends have done in their communities, the ways in which they give back has been incredible. Hearing Bismack come back and talk about, you know, giving his entire salary for the year to hospital in Africa, that to me, those are those moments that really matter. And I am grateful that I have the privilege to work with a group of individuals, particularly on the EC, but all 450 of our players who are such giving human beings.
So we are speaking less than a weekend to the playoffs. It's gotten off to a pretty bang up start, a lot of drama already. And so let me just ask, because we're only a few days removed from this, Kyrie Irving versus Celtics fans. That's the kind of thing, obviously, that gets a lot of airplay, a lot of replays. And, you know, not the first time we've seen this. It happens. But, you know, to the extent that the union needs to be involved in these things, and obviously Kyrie's also part of the executive board for the union, but that particular incident was a little bit more intense than most of these we've seen. Sometimes fans say something, they cross a line, a player might fire back. Kyrie kind of got into a prolonged back and forth there. He's been fined his $50,000 by the NBA, which is the max allowed under the CBA. It's what everybody would expect. It's probably what Kyrie himself expected. To the extent that you guys, as the union, both are in a position of advocating for the players, but also looking out for their welfare, and there are certainly issues of you know, player welfare at issue here as well when fans are in that mode. What is your role at a time like that? Have you spoken with Kyrie personally in the last few days? Give me a sense of how that unfolds for you.
Yeah, so it was really difficult to watch, and to your point, on both sides. And it reminds me, as you know, I'm a huge proponent of kindness and mental health and the impact that that has on individuals. And I think one of the challenges that experience exhibited was just how commercialized our players have become. Right? We forget that they are truly human beings, that they are experiencing the same things that each and every one of us is experiencing on a daily basis. And it is really challenging with a game that is that intense for all of our players to hear the fans constantly badgering them, et cetera. And I think people get to the point where it's just too much. And I think, you know, under normal circumstances, certainly Kyrie would have wanted to do something differently. But I think it pushed him to his breaking point. And for that, quite frankly, as the union, we're here to protect them. And we are saddened by the experience that he had. I know that he is saddened by the experience that he had. But we also have an onus to make sure that things like that do not continue to happen. So not only have I had a conversation, obviously, with Kyrie's agent, but I've also had a conversation with the NBA around how we have to make sure that this is not continuing to happen. Because fan behavior, while we want them there and, you know, we are there on behalf of our fans, we love the game, it should be a great family experience, it also is really difficult to watch these things continue to happen. And it's heightened over the last, you know, several years. We have all been through an incredibly traumatic couple of years. And now that we're getting out, I think we forget the experiences and what it means for individuals who are on the front line and experiencing these things, who are trying to win a game, focused on the game, and we are badgering them and making it difficult. I sat in the audience in Washington a few weeks ago, and there was a fan behind us constantly screaming. And I was with my 16-year-old son, and they were using foul language, and they were distracting the players. And I thought, this is just not acceptable. Now, we have cards that say, please, you know, keep your volume down, please be considerate of the players. But we really need our fans, when they are doing that, to actually have ramifications for their actions, just like our players do. And so I do think having a conversation with Adam where we talked about increasing our security, making sure that we're notified individuals, you know, on a regular basis that this is not appropriate, I'm hopeful that that will really change the game.
Do you think the NBA and individual arena security is doing enough in this regard? I mean, we've seen several incidents, obviously, over the last few years, including in Boston when somebody threw a water bottle at Kyrie, but there was popcorn being dumped on Russell Westbrook. There has been, you know, any number of these things, epithets that have been hurled. People have been banned for life. And so I think the league, it seems like, has reacted in kind when an incident, you know, comes to light, and especially if it's extreme in nature. But at the same time, these things keep happening. And I don't know, how do you control 18, 20,000 people? But is the league doing enough?
Yes. You know, I do think that they are doing enough. I think their arena staff is doing enough. What I do think, however, is that we have not anticipated the volume. Right. I think that, you know, there was always the one off or the, you know, rogue individual. I think now there's so many individuals that are taking these stances and are being really disruptive during games that we just need to increase the level of people who are focused on it. Yeah. Because we did not expect this. And so I think that's caused us to sort of have to rise up to it. But it wasn't because they weren't doing their jobs.
Yeah. So in your conversations with the league, just last thing on this particular one, because I think of these incidents, and I know, like, players, they are used to taking a lot. They do have to absorb a lot and just kind of take it. And they very, very rarely fire back. But sometimes people cross the line. And usually if a player has lashed back out, it's usually because somebody went somewhere they shouldn't have, whether they got too personal, whether it was racial in nature, whether it was something else. Do you get a sense from the league as they're doing their investigation, because they do investigate both sides of this, not just what the player did, but what precipitated it. Do you have a sense of how far the fans might have gone or what actually did provoke Kyrie to that extent?
You know, I don't know the specifics, but to your point, I do know that they did investigate it, and they do that all consistently, a very thorough job of looking at the audience, seeing the audience's reaction, seeing Kyrie's reaction, seeing our other players' reactions. So it is something that I think we're very much, you know, part of that process. So, you know, our legal team sits down and works with the league and has discussions with the players. So it is not as if a fine is just given to our players, right? And certainly, you know, we do our job to make sure that we're protecting them. So we are making sure that these things are looked at.
Yeah.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Player welfare more broadly, and kind of veering into league policy as well, or looking forward, Adam Silver at the Board of Governors just, what, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, said, and it was, he kind of went there on his own, because the question, I think, was about something. Oh, the question was about trade demands and forced trades and that trend, and Adam kind of veered toward more concern about players not playing. And I think it was because of Ben Simmons being the example there and him not playing for Philly until the trade. Of course, there's also a physical issue now. We may see him soon. But there was, I think maybe he had in mind also perhaps John Wall, perhaps some other players who just for one reason or another have been sitting out. And so it brings up all of the, do we shorten the schedule, which of course has to be collectively bargained and also discussed with TV partners. There's a lot of different aspects to that there. How far into the weeds have you gotten so far on just the idea of load management, player rest, the demands of the schedule, the taxing nature of the season on their bodies? How high on your priority list has that been?
Yeah, so it is a high priority. So, you know, as I came here, one of the things that we were looking at is the development protection, safety of our players, and that means from a mental health as well as a physical health perspective. So looking at the number of games, looking at the number of injuries, seeing the impact that it has had on our players is hugely significant for us. So it is something that is front of mind. Obviously, we've kicked off even in this 100 days our CBA negotiation, so it's something that we are, you know, all talking about and we're all concerned about. What I do think, however, is that we have to respect that the individuals that we have in place that help us to evaluate these decisions and things that are occurring, our medical professionals, our mental health professionals, that they are putting our players in the best position. And we have to make sure that we're empowering our players to make the right decisions for them. You know, coming from the corporate world, our professionals had an opportunity to choose their employer, to choose their salary, to do all of those things. Our players don't have that freedom and flexibility. So to empower them to make the right decision for their bodies, for their mental health, I think we really can't stand in the way of that, and we have to respect individuals who are going through these challenges.
So the flip side of it, of course, is that, and Adam, his response, I think, kind of veered into this area too, is this is the way that broadcast medium is evolving, people might now be paying more just for one team or a batch of games or whatever else. And so I think his concern, the implied concern there, is that if players aren't available, not playing, you're denying people the reason to actually purchase the game or that package or whatever. And so it gets down to the business model too, right? And the sustainability of it all. And there's TV contracts coming up on the horizon as well as a CBA negotiation. I assume that will all kind of be tackled globally, but do you head into it with some thoughts in mind? Like, has the union gotten to a point where you think, you know what, maybe it is time to consider a trade-off of a little less revenue, maybe slightly lower salaries, for fewer games? And obviously, all that's 50-50, so the league would be giving up its half of the whatever is shed in next TV deal. But should all of that be on the table? Like, maybe it is worthwhile trading out a few hundred million for, you know, maybe it's not that high, but for a more sustainable season, a less taxing season.
Yeah, so I think, you know, we will consider everything, certainly. And I think we will, I am convinced that our relationship with the league is one of trust, one in which we all want the best for our players, both mentally and physically. And so certainly those are things that we will consider. But in terms of sort of being able to be out there for our fans and entertaining for our fans and our media deals, all of those things, it will be something that will be, we will make front and center. But to take less revenue, I don't see that happening, to be quite honest. And I just think we have to go about this a little smarter and figure out ways to make it work. But again, making sure that our players are positioned in the best place.
Yeah. Well, and there's also the possibility too, like, I don't know where the next TV deal goes, but every TV deal has been richer than the prior one. They could probably sustain it at the same level, do fewer games, and even if they took something out there, make it up elsewhere, right? There's gambling revenue. There's all kinds of other stuff. I mean, I'm sure there's a way to do this. Maybe cut the schedule back and not give up a dollar even. Seems like...
That's what we hope, right?
Yeah. I'm sure Adam Silver does too. A few other things that are going to come up in the CBA, I'm wondering initial thoughts, not asking you to put out your CBA bargaining position prematurely, but the age limit has been looming out there for a while, the league and the union when Michelle Roberts was here, and I think maybe even before David left, or maybe it was early in Adam's tenure, but there was already kind of this verbal agreement. Everybody agreed, you know what, it's time for the age limit to go. We just got to figure out the mechanics of it. And here we are in 2022, and it's still there. I guess it will just have to be folded into the next CBA negotiation. Do you expect that that will be front and center during those talks? Do you expect that the outcome of that, because it seems like everybody's on the same page, league and union, that it should go?
Yeah, so I will say that it is not the biggest priority, right? We are focused on how can we grow the pie, both for the league and the owners and for the players. It certainly is something that we will consider and are continuing to have discussions on. Gratefully, there are many things that we are all on the same page for, right? I think in this negotiation in particular, we are going to be focused on more ways to grow revenue, ways to make sure we're protecting and supporting the players. So I'm hopeful that we're all on the same page there.
Yeah, seems like it. It seems like that one is an inevitability. It's just a matter of maybe just getting around to it or figuring out the mechanics of it. The other one that's been kind of looming out there, and I'll invoke David Stern's name again. David, like maybe 5 years ago, in the wake of, I think, Al Harrington launching his own cannabis business, David Stern actually said to Al Harrington for his podcast, I think, you know what? We should revisit this. Marijuana shouldn't be on the banned list. And Adam has kind of alluded to the possibility too, except that state-by-state laws are so different that, you know, you don't want to put guys in a position where they're now traveling with it for medicinal purposes, of course, people. And then going from a state where it's legal or decriminalized to a state where it's not and having, you know, brings up all these other issues. But it seems like that's another one that feels inevitable, that it's coming sometime soon. How... You know, where is that on the list of items that may be?
I think you're right. It is absolutely something that we will talk about, but it is on the list. I do think, given the laws have changed in certain jurisdictions, and quite frankly, I think the CBA also includes, you know, its byproducts, and we know that, you know, we do use, you know, CBD oils and things like that for massage purposes and physical therapy, et cetera. So I think we do have to re-examine it for certain.
I guess I should just ask generally, like, you 100 days in, what are the, you know, I've been asking you about priorities that are from like the list of things that have kind of felt like they've been looming over this league for a while. But what are you hearing from players that they most want to see you pursue or the union pursue as we go forward?
Yeah, so I think it is, while certainly some of it is in the context of CBA, I think more broadly, you know, there were three things that I've really been focused on. One is business opportunities. So where are we going to generate revenue? So I think you mentioned some of them already. So NFTs, gambling, you know, all of those things, what the impact is going to be on new licensing revenue, things like that. Global, the expansion that we're seeing globally is significant, and how can we be more part of that. Equity. When we think about, you know, how things have historically gone, there haven't been a lot of deals in which equity has played a role. And so do we have the structure here within the PA or with Think 450 to make sure that our players are able to capitalize on the equity in the future? I am really focused on generational wealth. And I have said this on a number of occasions, Howard, you're probably aware of it, but I don't like to hear that our players make a lot of money. First of all, they earn it. Secondly, they have lots of money. Our goal is to make sure that they have lots of money. When we refer to the owners, we say they have lots of money. Well, because they are very focused on generational wealth and equity and ownership and developing things. And that's where I want our players to be. So when we talk about equity, whether it's, you know, in companies that the owners may be involved in as well, we have to make sure that we are given those same opportunities. We're not back in the 1950s, right, where our players can't afford to invest in the same things that our owners are investing in, and to limit them in that way is really confining. So certainly that's a priority for me. It's a priority for the players to make sure that that changes. And then as we look at the future of basketball, certainly the platform that our players have taken. It is, as you know, the industry that has done the best from a social equity standpoint, right? Being in sports means that now you also have to have an opinion on those things. And our players are really focused on that. So whether it's voting rights, whether it's, you know, diversity, equity, and inclusion, this is a priority for them. And I think we'll continue to see things around that. And certainly as we look at what are we doing in the technology space, our players love technology, right? I am amazed at how brilliant and, you know, sort of forward-thinking they are from a technology standpoint. So when we think about fan engagement and how we're going to engage fans, we know technology is going to play a significant role in that. When we think about, you know, what we're going to be doing with NFTs, you know, Grant Williams asked me during my interview with them if I knew the tax treatment of cryptocurrency. And I was like, oh my God, like, this is interesting. Wow. And I thought, well, I'm at Deloitte, I probably could figure it out. But no, I don't know the answer to that. But that's where they're thinking. That's where they're going. And we've got to be there with them to do those things. And then sort of the third pillar is around development, safety, and protection of the player. So that's what we've spent, you know, some time talking about already this morning. Physical health, right? But also mental health, because we can't be at our best when we have all of these things that we're unpacking, right? And it's really critically important that we're supporting individuals that are going through mental health challenges and letting them know that it's okay, and having our players be a voice for that will be significant. As you know, I've served on Lady Gaga's board for several years now, and one of the things that we've focused on is kindness, because it's something that most people will agree to. But as we see the suicide rates doubling and individuals that are impacted just being so much more pervasive, we want to make sure that our players are protective and that they're recognizing it in other individuals and people that they're surrounded by as well. And then life after basketball. What happens after that? So getting some true secondments. You know, we had our Business Titan dinner at the All-Stars where we had Robert Smith and Robert Kraft and David Solomon to come and to speak to them and talk about this generational wealth and to actually be sort of conduits to them, where they mentor them and are engaged with them, looking at board placements. We already have players who sit on public boards. Can you imagine that? It's backs. It's amazing that we have individuals that are focused on that. So my job, too, will be making sure that they're ready for that and that they're prepared for this life after basketball when the ball stops dribbling, as individuals refer to.
Yeah. No, it's interesting because you come into the union at a time when, like, this is not – it's not even the union that Michelle Roberts came into, and certainly not the union that Billy Hunter did prior to her. I mean, the evolution of the league and the players, player wealth is at a level that I don't think anybody ever could have foreseen. And so it's different. It's not about just, you talk about Think 450, which of course the union's armed to work in this area for players, but like, the union doesn't exist just to protect player rights or just to negotiate a CBA. Like they're now a business unto themselves collectively and individually in a way that I don't think any of their predecessors could have possibly foreseen. So you're talking about all these things at a much different level, because that's where the league has evolved to, and certainly where the Players Association and the players themselves have evolved to.
It is a very, very different union. Yeah. And as we're looking at this and thinking about how do you transform the union, so my whole theory in this last 100 days has been around reimagining the possible. Because we can get in our own way of just thinking of ourselves as, you know, here to protect the players from a union standpoint. Ways in which we protect them is to also make sure that they're generating revenue in the future, right? And so thinking about this arm of Think 450 that is our licensing arm, it's our ability to go out and get sponsors. It's a business entity, right? We can be a billion-dollar entity very soon. And so working to that is very different, certainly, than even when I started working with the union 10 years ago.
And without relying on the league, because that's the thing. It's always been like the league was the conduit to the revenue, right? And now it's, you know, there is still that element of this in a very major way, but the union is standing on its own as well. And I don't think anybody could have envisioned that.
That's exactly
10
right.
Years ago.
You're so right. And just trying to get others to understand, like, why are we building our brand? Why are we focused on our brand? Because it now makes a difference. You know, 10 years ago, and 10 years ago, it didn't matter, right? We were there to just make sure that the players were doing what they needed to do, getting what they needed to get. And now we got to think about, like, how do we become this business engine, this machine that is generating revenue?
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
So one sticky tangent on that, or issue this is sticky, but it's a tangent to it. But you mentioned equity, and there's been this discussion, and I think Michelle Roberts had brought this up too, that the owners, who are almost all multi-billionaires now, they buy these teams as investments, as showpieces, as all kinds of other things. These are not, most of them, not mom and pop shops. It's not the family business, with a few exceptions. And they generate immense wealth just by holding onto them and flipping them. And the players don't share in that at all. Is there an avenue for that? And again, how front and center is that as part of their discussions with the league?
Yeah, we are absolutely going to be talking about that, because to some extent, as we look at equity, it becomes one of the potential vehicles that you invest in, right? I do think that there are other opportunities that are much more lucrative outside of the team per se, but I think it should be something that's not limited to them. And so absolutely, we'll be looking at that.
Yeah, it's funny because the model, again, the business model was always just, well, the league generates the revenue, the players get their share, that's fine. But there, it's been very clear over the years that ownership and the model of ownership has changed quite a bit. So the idea that the players could share in the profits are not just the annual profits, I guess, is my point. And if the players are truly a partner, as the league often discusses it, like that's a nice rhetorical flourish during CBA, and it goes, oh, we're partners in all this. Well, the players are the ones generating the value of those franchises, right? So there's it seems to me a strong case to be made there that the partnership goes beyond just how you split up basketball related income.
Yeah, and I think, Howard, you hit it right on the head when you think about this partnership, right? I think that the league says that with incredible reason for saying it, right? Because we are no longer in a position where we need to be adversarial, right? And that for some people is really hard to kind of wrap their arms around, because we should be butting our heads consistently. But if we are doing it right, which what is right now is growing the pie for everyone, for the owners, for the league, for the players, we do need to be in partnership. That's how we're going to be most successful. So if we are sort of putting our money where our mouth is, we should be acting in tandem and not in an adversarial position. I think that's what Adam is trying to get at, and is certainly what I came into this role sort of anticipating that we would be doing.
You're coming in at a time of great labor peace. I was looking at this yesterday, where I think this is the longest stretch without any lock. There's been a couple of short lockouts in addition to the two major lockouts, but I think this is the longest the NBA has gone since the salary cap was introduced in the mid-80s without any labor stoppages or any even a brief lockout that was in the offseason. Like, this is, we're on 11 years since...
Are you trying to jinx me?
No, I'm saying this is an amazing time for you to be able to come in and kind of preside over a peacetime president, a peacetime executive director, instead of, Michelle came in, I think, feeling like she had to be taking on that combatant. But that, you know, her personality, I think, was geared that way anyway. She came out firing. Billy was certainly a pugilist in some regard. You and Adam, I think, are different figures for a different time in the evolution of this partnership.
Yeah, no, that is exactly right. I mean, Michelle did amazing things. There is no question. And, you know, quite frankly, my goal is to do things in the same way, but to make sure that just because she was the first and I'm the second doesn't mean that we can't do things that are groundbreaking at this level. And I think Adam and I have the potential to be able to do that. And there doesn't have to be this antagonism. I think the other piece is we're starting early. You know, when the 100 days, we're already on it. We're already, you know, meeting and talking about things of importance. So, you know, God bless us if we can't get to a place where we can come to an agreement, right? Because I think we are being very thoughtful, actually considering lots of viewpoints from a stakeholder perspective. And so I am anticipating that we'll end up in the right place.
I am confident that you and Adam will get there. I look forward to that. I've covered both of the major lockouts in 98, 99, and 11. I do not look forward to doing any more of those. I don't want to sit on sidewalks at midnight waiting for CBA talks to be done. So
I don't want you to either.
I wish you guys all the labor peace in the world. This has been a pleasure. We'll have to do it again maybe after the second 100 days.
Please, I would love that.
Somewhere along the way. Tamika Tramaglio, thank you so much for spending the time.
Thank you so much, Howard.
Okay, that's it for today's show. My thanks again to Tamika Tramaglio. Thank you to the union's PR ace, Ellie Hagedorn, for helping connect us and hosting us at NBPA headquarters. Thanks to our producer, Shelby Royston, and thank you all for listening. Remember, you can hear Chris Mannix and me every Tuesday on The Crossover with all the latest NBA chatter. And on Fridays, it's me and a guest. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to The Crossover wherever you get your podcasts. And hit me with all your feedback on Twitter at Howard Beck.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my! Look at that! He is! And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win! Unbelievable!
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.